This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Amen. Let's get into scriptures this morning. Go with me to the book of James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. I read James chapter 1 from verse 5 to 8. I read, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So this morning we're looking at what I titled, a series I'm opening up this morning titled, Changing Things by Prayer. Or you can change things around you by prayer. Why should that man not think that they can receive anything from the Lord? According to James chapter 1 verse 8 now gives us the answer. It says the reason why the person should not think they can receive anything from the Lord is because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is, that man is double-minded, and as a result of them being double-minded, they are unstable in all their ways. That man, that woman is double-minded, and as a result, that person, he or she, is unstable in all their ways. Why is he unstable in all his ways? Because this person has a dual mindset understanding of the character of God. The reason why they are unstable is because they have a dual mindset understanding of the character of God. A dual mindset understanding of the character of God. That is to say, in one part of their mind, they believe that sometimes God is good to people. In another part of their mind, they also believe that sometimes God doesn't want to do good to people. So they have a dual mindset understanding of the character of God. A dual mindset understanding of the character of God. His revelation, her revelation of God, is that God has a dual character. The reason why this person is not receiving from God is because their revelation of God is that God has a dual character. That is, they believe that God is unreliable. They believe that God is not trustworthy. And because his or her mind is double, he cannot receive. She cannot receive anything because he or she cannot rely on God. This person cannot rely on God. They cannot trust in God. Hallelujah. And that is why for you and I to be able to get to the place of effective prayer, your revelation of God is very important. For you to be able to get to the place of effective prayer, your revelation of God is very crucial. Your understanding of who God is very important. Without a proper understanding of who God is, proper understanding of the revelation of God, you will not be able to have a robust and effective prayer. This person cannot receive because he doesn't trust God. The reason they cannot receive is not because God is bad. It's not because the witches from his or her village, they are very powerful. It's not because the devil is strong. The reason they cannot receive is because he doesn't trust God. He doesn't even know this God. And as a result, he cannot receive anything from him. And that is why the Apostle James took time to explain this to us, because so many believers, they are not receiving because, not because God has not given to them, they are not receiving because they do not have an understanding of the character of God. They do not have an understanding of who this God is. And because they don't know who this God is, they are struggling to receive from him. Give Jesus praise this morning. Now, the Apostle James now began to clear up some things to us by using certain adjectives to describe the attributes of God. He started by saying, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask from this giving God. This giving God gives to all men generously. He upbraideth not. He gives liberally. He gives generously. He upbraideth not. The word upbraideth not means he does not find fault. He gives generously and he doesn't find fault. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men generously and does not find fault. The word upbraideth not means he does not find fault. He gives, he doesn't just give, he gives generously, he gives lavishly, and he doesn't find fault. So when you have this understanding, your mind will be settled about God and you will be able to receive. When you have an understanding that your Father is a giving God, he is a God who gives generously, and when he gives, he doesn't find fault, you will not have a problem receiving. Why will he not find fault? He is not finding fault because of you. He is not finding fault because of Jesus. Because when you are praying, you are asking in the name of Jesus. And because you have asked in the name of Jesus, he cannot find fault. Not because of you. If you ask in your name, he will find fault. But he asks in the name of Jesus, who is the perfect sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice that is perfect for time and for eternity. And as a result, he gives generously. He gives generously. He doesn't give sparingly. He gives generously. I pray for you today. May you enjoy the generosity of God in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen like thunder. May you enjoy the generosity of God in the name of Jesus. He gives generously and doesn't find fault. Hey, he doesn't find fault. If that's where I stop this morning, I think I'm fine. If you live with that understanding that God gives, he is a giving God. And he gives generously and he doesn't find fault. So when you understand this, your mind will be settled about God and you will know that you receive when you ask from him. Now when you study further, verse 13, he continued explaining the character of this giving God. He now says, brother James now says, when tempted, no one should say God is tempting them. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God cannot be tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone. So anything that is wrong happening to you, it is not God using it to teach you or tempt you. That challenge is not God using it to tempt you or to punish you for the bad things that you have done. He doesn't tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt. He is not in the business of tempting anyone. God is not the tempter. We only have one tempter, and that tempter is the devil. God is not the tempter. So he said, have this understanding. He now says, no one should say that God is tempting them, because God cannot tempt you with evil. Neither does he even tempt anyone at anyone. Not only believers. He doesn't tempt anyone at all. He doesn't tempt anyone. Not only Christians. God doesn't tempt anyone at all. Hey, give Jesus praise, please. Celebrate him. God does not tempt any human being on the earth. He now tells us where temptation comes from. He now tells us in verse 14 to 15, he says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and entice. This is where temptation comes from. Temptation comes from our evil desires, from our lust. That's where temptation comes from. Then after desire has been conceived, what does it do? It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Hallelujah. I'm not going to bother that scripture, because if I get into it, we will not get into where I want us to get. But we'll touch it during the course of this series. Then he now went to verse 16. He now is like a man now, you know, after as he's discussing, he now got to a place that says, do not err. It's like waking you up, making a very powerful statement to wake you up and say, do not err, my beloved brethren. He said, don't get into error when it has to do with our God. Don't get into error, because if you're going to receive from him and enjoy a robust relationship with God, he said, do not err. Do not be deceived. Do not get into error. The reason why many believers are not enjoying a robust relationship with God is because they have gotten into error. Many believers are in error when it comes to the revelation and the understanding of God. And the Apostle James tells us here, do not err. Why do people err? Why do people get into error? Where does error come from? Jesus expatiated to us in Matthew 22 verse 29, Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Many believers are in error because they do not know the scriptures. They know not, neither will they understand. Because they know not, they are walking in darkness. And because they are walking in darkness, the foundations of everything around them is out of course. So do not err. People get into error because they do not know the scriptures or the power of God. You get into error because you do not know. I pray for you today. Anyone that has entered into error and have a dual mindset understanding of the character of God, I command, be set free from that error in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. Be set free from that error in the name of Jesus. Be delivered from that error in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. He says, don't err. Because when you get into error, you will have a dual mindset understanding of the character of God. He said, do not err. You get into error because you do not know the scriptures and the power of God. You do not know the scriptures, and the scriptures reveals the true nature and the character of this giving God. The scriptures reveals the true nature and the character of this giving God you are relating with. What areas are we deceived in? What areas do we get into error with? He continued. Brother James continued in verse 17. He now says, every good and perfect gift. That is where many have gotten into error. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light, who does not change like shifting shadow. He said, do not err. Where do you get into error? He said, we get into error because most of us do not understand that every good and perfect gift comes from God. He now began to expose, express, and define the character of the giving God. He now tells us that God is good and perfect. That God is not different in the Old Testament and is different in the New Testament. That is, he tells us that God's character is consistent. He is good. He is perfect. He was good. He was perfect. He is going to be good. He is going to be perfect. He will be good. He will be perfect. God does not change. There is no shadow of turning with him. His character can be depended upon. You can trust him. You can rely on him. There is no shift. He is not shifting. There is no shifting in God. He is not like a shadow that shifts. He said, the area you err is because you have a dual mindset understanding of God. And what is that dual mindset? You think that God can shift. And he says, no, every good and perfect gift, if it is not good and perfect, it is not from God. Therefore, I will not accept it. Give Jesus praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't err. Don't get into error. God doesn't change. There is no shadow of turning with him. He is the same yesterday, the same today, the same forevermore. He has been the same. He will remain the same. He will forever be the same. When you have that understanding, you will not struggle to receive from God. The reason why, oh Jesus, the reason why many are not receiving from God is because they have an understanding that God changes. That he was a different God to Abraham, another God to Isaac, and another God to Pastor Joseph, and for me, when another God to me. No, no, no. He is the same. His character is consistent. God is not your brother or your sister. Who changes their mind? God is not into mood swings. God does not have a mood issue. Give Jesus praise this morning. So you can count on him. He doesn't have disloyalty. He is reliable. Child of God, stop thinking contrary to the character of God. And the reason why many believers think contrary to the character of God is because they do not know the scriptures concerning God. You do err because you know not the scriptures and the power of God. You get into error because you don't know. We have too many believers who are in error because they don't know.
They suffer what they ought not to suffer because they don't know. They go through things they ought not to go through because they don't know.
Hallelujah. Then Brother James continued, verse 18. He now says, he chose to give us birth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. He chose to give birth to you of his own will. And because he's your father, that speaks of relationship. He's your father. He chose to give birth to you. The only thing that will come from him is good and perfect. Because why? He chose to give birth to you. He chose to give birth. You didn't choose him. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. And when he chose you because he's a good and perfect father. And he will give you good and perfect gift. He chose to give birth to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when you pray with the confidence of the love of God for you. You pray in confidence concerning the love of this giving God. Because friends, when you pray with confidence in the love of the giving God, you receive in faith without doubting. You receive in faith without doubting. So when you understand that by his own will, of his own will, he gave bet to you, and he is a good and perfect father. When you come to pray, you will pray in faith, knowing that he cannot say no to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why will you not doubt? Because he will not find fault. He gives liberally, upbraideth not. He will not find fault. That is why I will not doubt. When I come to pray, I'm not doubting if God will answer me or not. Number one, he's a giving God. Number two, he gives generously. Number three, he doesn't find fault. Then number four, good and perfect is him. Then final, the ice on the cake, he chose to give birth to me. Of his own will. Give Jesus praise. I didn't bribe him to give birth to me. I was on my own, living a wasteful life. His love found me. You didn't find him, oh my friend. He found you. Give Jesus praise, everybody. He came and called you out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And he now said, every good and perfect gift comes from me. And I'm giving it to you. Without finding fault. He's not finding fault. When you have this understanding, you will never come to God in prayer doubting. Give Jesus praise one more time. Listen, friends. Your heavenly father is generous. Your earthly father may be stingy. Your wife stingy. She's hiding all her money under the bed. Lying to you. Say, stop lying. You have money. Your husband may be stingy. But this God is generous. Generous God. Generous God. Generous God. There's no scarcity in his resources. There's no need you have that his abundant resources cannot take care of. Now, you knowing that changes everything when you come to pray. Hallelujah. You know, there's an understanding my wife have consigned me. She knows I will never say no. Now, that understanding gives her access to everything. So imagine a mortal man like me, flesh and blood. She has that understanding. Then it's like an odogu. Then my head has that feeling, you know. Before she makes her request known to the odogu. Amen. Now, how much more God? Who chose to give birth to you? My friend, after today, receive answer to prayers in the name of Jesus. Receive answer to prayers in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. God is not a man. He's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? So understand, friends, that God is a generous God.
God is a generous God. He will take care of you. Hallelujah. Knowing this changes everything when you come to pray. Now, also understand, friends, the power of prayer makes answers materialize. The power of prayer is generated by you, the believer. The power of prayer is generated by you, the believer. You as a believer makes power available. And that power you make available, the Bible says, it is dynamic in its working in the actualization of the answers you have pronounced when you are praying. It makes answers available. It makes answers available. Let me show you quickly. If things are not changing around your friends, you pray. If it does not still change, you pray some more. If it looks like it's still not changing, you pray. You do not stop praying. You keep praying because the more you pray, the more you make power available to change your situations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible tells us, James, the brother James continued, it says in James 5:16, it said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified Classic puts it this way. Put it for me. The Amplified Classic Edition. The effectual, fervent prayer of you, the righteous man, you, the righteous woman, makes power available. And this power has an element of dynamite in it. Confess one to another, therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. Pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. Earnest, heartfelt, continue, continue, continue. You never stop praying. Continued prayer. You pray in the morning. You come back again on Monday. You pray some more. You don't say, well, it's public holiday. You know, no. The continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Dynamic in its working. Dynamic in its working. Now this dynamite is the same root word for dynamo. And the character of a dynamite is, when a dynamite explodes, it changes things in the place in which it has exploded in. So friends, if you want to see a change, you have to make this power available. How do you make it available? In prayer. When you do, you unleash the dynamite to explode so that things around you can be changed and rearranged. I pray for you. Whatever has refused to change, after now, I command a change in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. So that is why we ask you to join morning prayers so that you can make power available. You can make power available to change your situation. If you want to see a change, you have to make this power available through prayers. If nothing is changing, it means you're not praying, because it will take you praying to generate power that will bring the answers to prayer into actualization. The answers don't come from heaven. They come from within you. All answers to prayer is inside of you. If you do not pray, you are not releasing the answers. If you do not pray, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the effectual, continued prayer makes power available to receive what has been given. Hey, listen. It is not the day you pray that God is thinking of giving. He has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. When you pray, you receive what has been given. You make power available to receive. Why are people not receiving? Is it because God is a bad God? No. He has given. He is a giving God. He gives generously. You know, when you read further, we will touch it. He said, who of you will ask, your son will ask you for bread, you will give a stone. So which of you, your son will ask you for a fish, you will give a serpent. He just said, if then your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more me? So you pray to make power available. It's like when you want to, you know, when you go to buy Nando's, I use this illustration in the first service. When you go to buy Nando's, Was it when you went to buy Nando's, you arrive and say, I want quarter chicken and chips? That's when they started going to chicken farm to kill the chicken. Answer me. Was it? No. They have already purchased the chicken long before you became hungry of Nando's. Even on that set day, they have already put all the chicken on the griller. They're already grilling it. The aroma is everywhere. So when you now arrive, what is available? If you want lemon and herb, they just take lemon and herb sauce and put it on top. Turn it again, put it on top, and they give to you. Your arrival is you in prayer making power available to collect the chicken that has already been grilling, waiting for you. Well, there are many people, your chicken has caught fire because you are refusing to go and collect. So your chicken has been grilling for 20 years. You are never arriving. And I'm about to take it, because in this kingdom, overtaking is allowed. You can collect your neighbor's own. Some of you, your chicken is catching fire. We are waiting. You are not making power available to receive what has been given. It has been given. And I pray for you, everything redemption has made available, may you receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive restoration in the name of Jesus. Receive peace of mind in the name of Jesus. Receive upliftment in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. And that is why when you study the scriptures encourages us to pray all kinds of prayer. And prayer of supplication is one of those prayers. You know, we'll be looking at different kinds of prayers. It's one of those prayers that we pray. Why? Because the prayer of supplication has a beginning, but it has no ending. If you notice, the Apostle Paul will always say to us in the New Testament, praying always, that we must continue to pray at all times to see results. Why do we pray the prayer of supplication? When we pray the prayer of supplication, you are redirecting people's life to agree with the agenda of God, to align with the purposes of God. When you pray for people, your prayer goes to rearrange circumstances that will redirect the person's life that you are praying for. That's why when we pray in the morning prayer, I will tell you, put your brother's name, put your sister's name. Some of you are too big to put. You're too dignified. In that pastor doesn't know what he's saying. He doesn't have enough revelation. Why must I put? The reason is, so that as we are praying, I'm praying in tongues, I'm raising higher authority to rearrange whatever is going on in your brother's life. We are sending prayer power to go rearrange whatever it is to make sure that issues are sorted out, whether the devil likes it or not. Dear sister, I was sharing a testimony. We're not going into details on the testimony. On Thursday, we were praying. Remember, those who joined the morning prayers and those who didn't join, you will remember. Those who joined. And if you have not been joining morning prayers, I don't know what else to do for you, my friend. Honestly speaking, I don't know what else to do for you. I don't know what else. We're praying, dealing with none shall be missing. In the second quarter of the year, we're dealing with that. We're declaring life. No, will not everybody shall be accounted for. Nobody will die prematurely in our family. And on that same Thursday, a sister, the daughter almost died. And imagine if she didn't join that morning prayer. Through her prayers, rearrange what was already concluded. That means in the realms of the spirit, the daughter's life was already concluded. That we are taking that life. And God, by his spirit, moved me on that day to lead prayer in that direction without knowing why. And she was in the service and prayed the prayer, and things were rearranged. She would have come home and met a dead daughter, because neighbors called her and said, come, your daughter is dying. How did the neighbors see the dying daughter? Particularly in the kind of community we live in, where everybody's minding their business. But prayer rearranged things. The same thing I shared 2023. A dear sister met me, you know, at the mall. I was sharing how the daughter, the same day we're praying, will not bury anybody prematurely in our family. She joined the prayer and she prayed that same day. The daughter, who was a medical student in the University of Cape Town, almost died. She was gone. Why? Prayer rearranges things. It rearranges things. Give Jesus praise this morning. As I close you this morning, if a person is supposed to fail, by the virtue of your prayers goes into his or her life and begins to rearrange circumstances that will stop him or her from failing. You can deny your children failure by your prayer of supplication. You can deny your family being destroyed by your prayer of supplication. As a woman, your husband has no job. You can't stay there and be complaining every day and be cursing him out. You can change his jobless situation by your prayers. Not telling all your family members what is wrong with your husband. Make power available. As a husband, you can make power available that changes the story of your wife. Make power available. So many years ago, when I married my wife the first time I married her, the only time anyway. You know, English is punishing us. Okay, now I have your attention. Now listen. When I married my wife, the first few months of the marriage, some people were troubling her in her office. And she didn't have the kind of understanding I have. I came from I'm a ruggedized human being. Ruggedized, seriously ruggedized. I said, they're troubling you. They've touched the wrong woman. By the time I finished that journey, the person was fired. Fired. You don't trouble my wife. We odogu. Adugo. You're troubling her. You're looking for trouble. Prayer went and rearranged things. Even as she was working with honors degree, working as a teller, prayer went, rearranged things. As they were carrying her file fell, and the right eyes saw her file. I said, where is this lady? They say she's in front counting money. Say, with this kind of degree, and guess what? At that moment, FMB was looking for black women with proper education to bring into managerial position. Prayer, rearranged things. One, she slept, woke up as a tenor, went back and slept that day as a provincial manager, human resource manager for the province. Prayer, you can change your wife's story. This one you're fighting, beating her with your hands. Brother, are you normal? Beating her. You can rearrange things. And if you're beating your wife, you need help. I'm telling you now. Honestly speaking. You need help. You need serious help. I'm telling you. Seriousness. Now, you touch your wife. You need help. And if I discover, you will have to beat me as well. I'm serious. You will have to beat me. Because we'll not tolerate that. We're raising kingdom men. Men who honor their wives. Have you ever seen Pastor Cordelia with red eyes and blue eyes? Never. Why must your wife, every time your wife sees you, she's shaking? Because you have become a terrorist. Boko Haram. You have become Al-Qaeda. ISIS. That's what you have become to your family. Terrorizing them. And you, wife, every time, you will not keep your mouth quiet. Everything you're talking, you keep comparing your husband. You become comparing, you know, can you see what other men are doing? Okay, go marry other men now. Since you are seeing what other men are doing, go marry other men. You keep comparing your husband every time. Hallelujah. How did I get into marriage? But it's fine. You're not hopeless, child of God. You are not helpless. Everything you need to reign in life is on your inside. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. I close you with this scripture. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. Every good thing is in you. Every good thing. There is nothing bad in you. Every good thing is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. Every good thing. That is why when you see anything that doesn't look like what Jesus does, you bring it to the cross. Submit it to the cross. Receive help from the Lord. Bring the blood of Jesus over. Lord, look at this weakness. You said every good thing is in me. This weakness doesn't look like a good thing. Jesus, help me. Every good thing. Acknowledging every good thing that is in you and you are in Christ. You have everything at your disposal. So friends, there is no one to blame. There is no need for the blame game. You have nobody to blame. But the challenge is many are too ignorant. You have nobody to blame. Many are too ignorant. Many, the inability to make power available has become the hindrance of many. If things are not changing, pray. Things are still not changed, pray. Never stop praying. Never stop. You know, when I hear someone say, and I started praying, in an hour, I stopped praying because it looks like things are not changed. Okay, let me ask you, since you stopped praying, has things changed? Why did you stop? Because the more you pray, sometimes you are closer to your answer than you can think. You're making power available. If things are not changing, pray. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have God's faith, or have God's kind of faith. What brought about this statement was when Jesus cursed the fig tree withered, the next day his disciples drew his attention to the withered tree. And Jesus used that opportunity to start teaching them. And he called what he did faith in God, which is known as the works of faith. So Jesus was saying to them, this is faith at work. And he put that faith, and the resultant of that faith at work was the withering of the tree. But how did that faith come into work? He prayed. He prayed. He prayed. How do we know he prayed? Verse 23. Don't have faith in God. But how did we know he prayed for that faith in God? Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, now whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Whosoever. Verily, whosoever shall say, whosoever will pray, whosoever will make power available through prayer. Whosoever, you will say to mountain, mountains will move. Whosoever, your title notwithstanding, whosoever, you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a bishop. Whosoever, you don't have to go to Bible school. Whosoever, you don't have to be an ordained minister. It's irrelevant. Those are man-made things. You don't need to be ordained to carry this power. Whosoever shall say, whosoever will make power available. Whatsoever he saith shall come to pass. Jesus simply said, faith is put to work when you say, and mountains can be relocated. I pray for you. Whatever you have been looking for this second quarter of the year, as you make power available in the place of prayer, receive it as a testimony in the name of Jesus. Receive it as a testimony in the name of Jesus. Receive it as a testimony in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you say, whatsoever you say, hallelujah. Give Jesus praise this morning. Whatsoever you say. Listen, I want to encourage everybody. You cannot afford not to pray. Prayer is not something we do occasionally. And continue in prayer. Continue. It's an indictment on you that you are in a church that prays every morning and you're sleeping. Even if you're not, you just choose not to join. You just choose not to join. All my business. And you're wondering why things are not changing. Because you are not making power available. No power is available to change your situation. So, actually, no witch is stopping you. You are the one stopping yourself. When you make power available, that is dynamic in its nature, it will change things. And when you make no power available, nothing will change. The same story. Year in, year out, the same story. Year in, year out. So your chicken is busy grilling on the griller. 2 years now, the same chicken has been there, already catching fire. You're not coming to take. We keep looking for you. When will she ever wake up to take? When will he ever wake up to take? Angels are hovering us. Look, 2 pictures. Others are praying. He's crawling around, chatting, sending rubbish emojis. And others are praying. So the pictures are playing. Heaven is shaking their head. And after they finish chatting, they return back to the same problem. The same story. The same story. The same story. And they try to say, God, you know, in that church, there's no power. God said, no, 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 no. I didn't put the power in the church. I put the power in you. That's why many have been tricking you, because they make you think that the power is in the church. The power is in you. And if you don't make it available, you won't see any change. Tomorrow, I don't want to wake you up. You must wake up to pray. And not only tomorrow, every day. Because tomorrow now, some of you will just join by mistake. By Tuesday, you are out by mistake. You know, when I tell you that there are things, you can rise on your feet as we go home. When I tell you that there are things that cannot happen to me, it's not because I'm a special human being. No. Every day, I make power available that can help change my story and that of my children. Lift your voice. Say, Lord, help me not to be in error. Lord, deliver me from a dual mindset understanding of your character. In the name of Jesus, pray for yourself as we close the service.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.